Well, it's wonderful to be here with you again this morning. In fact, last week, I really missed not being with you because we've been with you like a couple of weeks before that. So it's great to be back again. About a week ago, I'd just come out of work, and I come off out of work and come onto the motorway and sit down the motorway. And it's really easy, actually, because although we live about nearly 20 kilometres from where I work, I get there really a lot quicker than the colleagues who live in the city centre and have to go through the centre to get there. And to my horror, as I was going down the motorway, suddenly saw the traffic in front of me was all stopped and I was going on to do another class. And I could see that I was like, I just got about another 15 kilometres to go and about 10 minutes to get there. And the traffic was completely stopped. And so there was I in the car, stopped the car, we are, the motor's running, I'm thinking I can still get there, still got 10 minutes, still do it. And as we started to inch along, literally, I saw how the queue curved round and went on and on and on. And you know what it's like, you're sitting there, and we don't like waiting, do we? No. Am I right about this, or is it only me? We don't like waiting. I was sitting there waiting, and you become very aware of the traffic that is literally whizzing past you in the opposite direction. And all you can think about is how much you would like to be going in the opposite direction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I began to think, and you know, our Christian walk is often like this. We can see other Christians who are walking with God and who seem to be having the most tremendous success. And yet we feel that we're not. Am I the only one in that position as well, or are there other people here? Exactly, amen. So I've got a question for you this morning. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer to be a traffic jam Christian, or would you prefer to live in the fast lane?
Fast lane.
Fast lane, amen. I've called this message, Living in the Faith Lane. And I'd like you to go with me to Psalm 130, verse 5, please. Psalm 130. Verse 5. The verse says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In the Amplified it says, I expectantly wait. Hold that thought. And in his word, I hope. There's that word again. Wait. But what's God really talking about here? The word wait in the Hebrew is a word which is kava. And the word means to look for, to expect, and to hope. Expect means to anticipate. It means to look forward to, and it means to be literally pregnant with. So, is God just saying to us, wait? Is he just saying, we just sit tight, don't move, don't do anything, sit there in my heavenly waiting room like as though you're in the dentist and wait for your turn? Is that what he's saying? No, he's not. He is definitely not. He's saying we need to change lanes. He's saying that we need to get into the fast lane and we need to get into the faith lane. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen. So, we can only expect once we have already received communication. Communication that something is due to take place. Expectancy is actually based on information previously received. It's based on evidence. For example, near Christmas, we're very near Christmas now, and if my mum says that she sent our Christmas present and they've already left the UK, they're in the post and they're on their way, what will I be doing? I will be expectantly anticipating the arrival of my goodies. In fact, I'll be waiting to snap the arm off the post girl as she comes around the corner because I'll be absolutely have that idea in my head that I'm going to get something really nice because I know my mum loves me and I know she's got the best for me. Amen?
Amen.
So, when God's word is communicated to us, then we receive the basis for our anticipation. We receive the basis, which actually that basis we could say is faith. When we move into active waiting is very different to passive waiting. Very different. Active waiting is a kind of waiting that you can see at the end of that tunnel. You see the light. You know exactly what you're waiting for. You're not just sitting passively. lovely, hoping, as we say, which is very different to Bible hope. Hoping in natural terms, very, very different.
That's right.
And when we are waiting for him to move, we need to be doing it actively, people, because if we're not, then it's just like the world. And we're called to be very different to the world. We are called out of the world into God's kingdom. And when he says wait, it's because he has already provided. He's provided that evidence for us. Faith starts.
Sorry, because it's not the popcorn. What's it going to eat?
Not the popcorn.
Not the popcorn.
Yeah, sorry.
What is it?
Okay, I'll continue. Faith starts where the will of God is known. And the will of God, where do we find the will of God? Find the will of God in his word.
Sorry.
The word is hello. His will. Thank you. So we know his will by going to his word. Amen?
Amen.
And we allow his word to speak to us. It's not just a case of opening the Bible and reading things and just going like, I know this already. Or I'll just skip over this, I'll skim over this, and then I'll dash out the door and get on with the rest of the day. We go to the word, and we go to the word expecting that word to actually speak to us, expecting that word to come alive, expecting that word to penetrate. And we can't be vague about it. We have to be specific. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, go with me for a second to Psalm 119, verse 130. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible. And this to me, actually, this was revelation to me. This was, you know, when you get like, you've read it loads of times and suddenly that word comes alive to you and you see it differently. The verse says, the entrance and the unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, comprehension to the simple. Focus on the word entrance. We know that the word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the word enters. But what this verse spoke to me was, it's two-way. It's a doorway. It's like, if I'm looking at that doorway, and let's imagine that the other side, where we get coffee, that is God's word. I have to make a physical effort to enter through that door, which means that God's word also requires our effort. We need to enter in before that word will enter in. Amen? So we need to actually take the time and the effort to get into his word. But not only getting to read it per se, it's getting into God's word and expecting him to speak to us. Expect it to come alive. Expecting God's word can mean so many different things to different people. At the same time that I'm speaking this morning, different members of this congregation are going to receive a different message, amen, because it's individual and because it's personal, because we serve a personal God who's interested in where we are at, every single one of us, and we are all at different places in our Christian walk. So as we make that effort to take the step to enter in, then we allow God to be able to move and for his word to enter into our hearts and to drop down into our spirits, which is from that point when we begin to produce fruit. Amen?
Amen.
It allows us to discern and to perceive clearly with the mind or senses. We actually see. We see something we hadn't seen before. We understand something we hadn't understood before. And understanding means that we are able to apply it as well to a situation. God can speak so many different things to us through the same word. And he shows us how that is applied. It's not just, you know, God's word is very practical. It's a very practical thing. And we just need to take the time to ask him. To ask him and to include him. You know the verse in Proverbs where it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make straight and plain your paths.
Mm-hmm.
It's a case of acknowledging him. It's a case of stopping, pausing, and allowing him to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a case of giving him that space. Because if we're racing, and doing things in our own strength and at our speed and the way we think things should be done, we're not giving him the space that he requires.
Sorry.
Amen?
Sorry.
So, we need to be simple. It says here, the simple. And what does simple mean? It means uncomplicated.
Yeah.
It means that we're willing to learn. And we're also willing to allow God to change our perspective. Because so often, as people, as humans, we have a natural tendency to think, once we get something, we've got it. That's not always the case. Often we might have half the story, or even just a very small portion. But God wants to open up that word. He wants to open up something to us. And if we are so like horses, racehorses blinkered, if we've got tunnel vision, we're not going to see from his perspective. We're only going to see from ours. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that. I want his perspective. I want to see the way he sees. I want to understand situations and understand people from his perspective. And the only way we can do that is by allowing him to speak to us and by allowing us to change our hearts and allowing him to remove every form of pride, because you know, pride blinds. Pride is not a very pleasant word, actually. And often we can think, and I could be the first to say, yeah, there are often times where I realise the Holy Spirit will show me something, and I realise that my reaction, my heart, my gut reaction is a reaction of pride because I'm resisting. And what does the word say? God resists the proud. And we have to be very aware that pride is an insidious thing, and pride will cause us to be blinkered. And so if we want God's light, if we want his truth, then we need to be open to his way of doing things. Amen? So my question is, why is faith so important? What's God's opinion about faith? What does he really think about faith? We're going to go through a few scriptures. I'm going to do this bit fairly quickly. I am going to mention the scriptures, and later you can always get the recording and go back through it, but I'm just going to mention them and take portions. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you're saved through faith. You can't be saved without faith. Grace is his part. That's the free gift. Faith is ours. It originates with him. But we decide to actively apply faith. It's our decision, and he never forces us. Amen?
That's right.
Habakkuk 2:4 and Hebrews 10:38 say, but the just shall live by faith. But the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You can't live for God without faith. And also, we actually come alive by faith.
Yes.
It's what happens to us. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't walk the Christian walk without faith. The world says, I'll believe it when I say it. We say, I believe it, therefore it is manifest. I believe it in my heart. I see it in my heart before I see it with my natural eyes. Amen? Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for, when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. You can't get your prayer answered without faith. You receive, you take those things that you're asking God for based upon his word. It's based upon what he's already provided for you. But we can't be willy-nilly about this. We've got to be focused, people, because if we're not focused, we're going to spend our time and our energy praying about things that he's already done. Begging him to do things that he's already said in his word that he has done. And we need to be focused. We need to make our prayer effective. It is the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man that avails much, that makes much power available. We can't be doing this kind of scatter prayer that fires bullets in all directions but doesn't hit the target. Amen? We need to see results. We've got one life here on this earth, and at the end of it, we'll be giving an account. Amen? And we need not only to see results for ourselves, but we're talking about everybody else that is affected by who we are in Christ. And we are his voice piece here on the earth. We are his spokespeople. And it's not just this voice. I'm not talking only about the verbal. I'm talking about our lives are a voice. Our whole lives speak to other people who are around us. And so we need to get the concept that we have been called and we have been chosen to represent him. And we have been given everything, everything that pertains to life and godliness. We've been given everything, everything that we need. The resources have already been given to us. It's a case of realizing who we are and what we have. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 11:6 is the clincher. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So my question is, do you want to please God?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, we do, don't we? And so in order to please him, we have to have faith. I've got two nieces. One of them is 10 and one of them is 6. And they're very different in character and personality. And the little one is a very strong personality and wants to be obviously like her elder sister. And whenever they go to my mum's, they always play board games or card games. And the little one desperately wants to win. And she'll do anything to win. And so she'll change the rule of the game. So if they're playing drafts, like instead of going the way you should do, she's kind of like going the opposite way and saying, oh, all of those are mine, and like swiping off the board, thinking that nobody's going to notice. You know, that's what we often try to do with God. We often try to change the gameplay. We often try to tailor him to our idea of who he is or who he should be. But the word is very clear that we need to walk by faith. So, my question is, what is faith? We need to know what it is. Amen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. A substance, what is a substance? It's something which is real, it's something which is tangible. Substance, the word substance means a standing under, the title deed, the physical matter of which a thing consists of. Faith is not mental assent. It is not wishful thinking. It is not something that we try to have. You know, the more we can sit there and say, I've got faith, I've got faith, I've got faith. But that's not real faith, the faith that comes from God. The faith that comes from God is a spiritual reality. It's a substance on the inside of us. If we were able to look inside our spirit man, we would actually see it sitting in there. It's real. It's a real, tangible substance. For example, when we were back in the UK, we went back to the UK in order to go to Bible school about 7 years ago. We came back 7 years ago, so we went back 9 years ago. And when I was there, for the first, we were at school during the day, and so we had to work part-time. And we were, actually, it was really was the favour of God. I won't go into the story because it's quite a long story, but we both got jobs, Matteo and myself, in Morrison's, as did one or two others from the Bible school. And I've never worked on a till before. My goodness, talk about stressed out. It was like Friday afternoon at Morrison's. It's just crazy. And so after we got to about sort of May time, I really felt that that God was speaking about looking for a different job because we were going to be staying another year. And I wasn't going to be going to, obviously I'd finished the bicycle, we were staying to help out. And so I was actually quite keen on the idea of getting out of there. So I just started looking around and there was an advert in the paper for a teaching job. And I just really felt that God was speaking to me about this particular job. So I applied for it. And I remember getting the interview and going to the interview. And there were a whole load of women, they're all women, a whole load of women waiting to be interviewed. There were about 10 or 11 people waiting. And we were all in a group to start with in this, in like the teacher's room. And they were all chatting away and nervous, really nervous. And I remember thinking, under normal circumstances, I'd be exactly the same, if not worse. But I was, it was like I was in a bubble and I was completely cocooned by this bubble of faith. Because I knew that I knew that I knew that that job was mine. And we had to do like a simulation of a class. They brought some kids in. We had to do the whole shoon-kaboodle. And normally I would have been like a real bag of nerves. and I wasn't. And I remember it was almost like going through things in slow motion. You know, like you throw it, you're doing it, and you're aware of what you're doing. It's almost like you're untouchable. And that's exactly what faith does. It makes you untouchable to the enemy. When you are walking faith, you are untouchable. He can come at you with all sorts of doubts, but it's like there's this barrier around you. You make the decision to say no to the doubt, and as soon as you do, because faith on the inside is that real, the reality of the thing you're waiting for, you know it belongs to you, you know it's yours, and so he can't take it from you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
So, how does faith come? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the good news is, if you haven't got it, you can get it. Mm. Because faith comes when we do our part, which is to apply ourselves and enter into the word and allow the Holy Spirit to bring that word alive to us. Never let fear talk you out of believing that God will show you what he wants, because he always will. There's always a time factor involved, and I think that's the bit where we probably put our foot in it, because our idea of timing is not always God's idea of timing. But when he shows you something, hang on to it. When he's spoken, stay there. Hold your place. Maintain your course. Because once he's spoken and faith is in your heart, doesn't matter how long you have to stand, you will see the result of what he has promised. Amen?
Amen.
When we were at Kingdom Faith, Pastor Colin always said, and it was transmitted via him to our pastor and then to our, from our pastor to us, and he said, you know, Pastor Colin always says, don't ever tell people what to do without telling them how to do it. Amen? So now we're going to go to the how-to. The how-to is in Proverbs 4, and we're looking at verses 4 to 23. Sorry, chapter 4, verse 20 to 23. I'm reading from the New Living. It says, pay attention, my child, to what I say. Listen carefully. Do not lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart, which is your spirit man. For they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning. Above all, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. So from these verses, we can take some points. Pay attention. I spend my life repeating that particular command, shall we say. I work with teenagers, and Spanish teenagers are very given to multitasking. Verbally, three conversations at the same time. And so I spend my life telling them to pay attention, which most of the time they don't, and it's a lot of effort. And you know, we're the same. Because we think that we are paying attention, and often we are multitasking. We need to be focused. We need to separate ourselves. When you spend time with God in prayer, separate yourself. Get away from everything and everybody. Turn the phone off. I like to say, make a nest. Because that's what I do. And I just so enjoy my time in the morning when I am on my own with my Bible or Bibles around me and with good worship music on and just like cocooned in his presence. Then the second point is listen carefully. Listen with the expectation of hearing. Pay attention, push everything else out. Listen expecting him to speak. Teachable attitude. Don't think you know it all, because we don't. Note down scriptures that seem to, sometimes a scripture will jump off the page at you. Make a note of it. Make a note of, even though at the time maybe you don't understand what he's saying, write it down. Have a notebook and write it down, because later you can go back over it. I can guarantee you that if you don't write it down, by the end of the day you'll have forgotten it. So make a note, because they're just things that help us to be able to go back up through the things that the Lord has spoken to us. Ask the Holy Spirit to explain. That's something that we often don't do. And you know, he's always willing to explain. He may not show us in that instant, but he will show us. It may be later on in the day, something happens, somebody will speak something and suddenly it will click. But ask for explanation. Don't be afraid to miss it. We all miss it. We're fallible, but God isn't. Mm. And so, you know, he's not expecting us to be perfect. He's expecting us to be teachable and to be willing. Mm. If we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Amen?
Amen.
Don't lose sight of his words. Mm. Make sure you are spending your daily time with the Lord. But not only that, find places where you can, if you feel he's spoken something to you, make sure that word is at the forefront. Put it places. Stick it. I don't know. I mean, I used to do this quite a lot. We've now only got one car, but when I had my own, I used to stick the word on the dashboard. I mean, you're not supposed to be doing this, obviously. But, you know, like, it was there. And I wasn't reading it as I was driving, but it was there. And perhaps before I got in, I'd just look at it. Or when I stopped the car, I'd just look at it. And the fact it was even there on the dash, because I knew it by memory by that stage anyway, it just reminded me to meditate the word. Get hold of good resources. There are so many resources out there. Use them. The Bible and the resources are no good perching on your coffee table. They're not going to do any good whatsoever. We need to use them. Use your drive time. That's what I do. I often do that. I have a teaching tape or a CD stuck in my car and I just stick it in. And even though I've had a hard day at work and I'm coming back, maybe not 100% switched on, let's say, but even so, I'm soaking. I'm constantly soaking. I'm receiving. And if we do all of that, the word will penetrate deep. Because the word in itself is designed to never come back void, but always, it always does that for which it's sent.
Yes.
But we have to play our part. Amen?
Amen.
With God, it's always partnership. Our success depends on no pain, no gain. If we're not willing to put the time and the effort in, we won't reap the benefits. It's our decision. We decide. But beware, and there is a beware. In Mark 4:15, it's talking about the shallow ground. Now, with this, I'm not insinuating that we're all shallow ground. I'm not saying that. But there is always a fight for the word. The enemy will always come and try to steal the word. Always. And he used different tactics and different methods. And he knows exactly which are buttons to press. And so we have to be aware that we need to cultivate. And just like with ground in the natural, if you're talking about farming, the ground has got to be broken up, first of all. The weeds have got to be pulled out. And then, I'm not a farmer, but then they kind of like break it up even further, I think, before they sow the seed. We need to make sure that the ground of our heart is ground, which is open to the Lord to start with.
Right.
But then we also need to keep the weeds out. We need to make sure that we are good gardeners, that we maintain the ground of our hearts, which means that we need to be aware that the enemy will come to try to steal the word. And so it's our responsibility to be diligent, to meditate the word, to guard our hearts. Amen? So how do we do this? It's a really good thing to learn how to meditate the word. Once God's given you scripture, put yourself into it. You need to visualize, you need to see yourself in that scripture. You need to roll it over and over in your mind. You need to think about it. You need to imagine yourself in it. I don't know any of you, but I remember as a kid, I used to do this a lot. I used to, things that I wanted, like I wanted a horse, I used to imagine myself with a horse. I'd imagine myself riding a horse. I'd imagine myself jumping in competitions. I'd see myself winning rosettes. Well, you know, really, at the end of the day, it's exactly the same thing. We need to do the same thing with God's word. We need to see ourselves in that word.
Right.
If the word to you is, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, you want to see yourself, and you have to see yourself, in that situation that normally causes you to be fearful, you need to see yourself overcoming. And you need to see yourself with the victory. Because actually, that's how God sees you. Amen?
Yeah.
You are victorious in Christ Jesus. We are not subject to what we can see with our natural eyes. We are called to be more than conquerors. He has died already to set us free from the limitations. The problem is we are often so blinkered and narrow-minded that we don't see the big picture, and we need to see it. Because we have been given a calling, we have been chosen for such a time as this, and He wants to be able to use us as a channel. He wants to be able to establish His kingdom here on this earth through His church, which is us. Amen?
Amen.
And so we don't need to be looking at the great prophet so-and-so and thinking, I wish I could be like him. You are like him. Because we all have the same Holy Spirit on the inside. Amen?
Amen?
We're just a work in progress. And we all need to be on the advance and not sitting down and not feeling defeated. But to be encouraged by the fact that God has called us for this time. And He's called us with His plan and with His purpose. Amen?
Amen.
So, His word brings life. You know that word life is Zoe. But life in every area, every single area of our lives. It says they bring life and radiant health to everyone who discovers their meaning. Radiant. What is radiant? This is radiant, and I'm actually quite hot. You know, radiant means not just a little bit. It's literally glowing, glowing with life. Every area, healthy body, healthy marriage, healthy family, healthy relationships, goodness, the goodness of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
When Mateo was a kid, small, he was like very small. He was like a stick insect. I saw a photo of him when he was about 7, and he really did look like something out of Biafra. He was like really, really skinny. And his mum became absolutely, I know he looks like Schwarzenegger now, but you know, back in the day, he was really, really skinny. And his mum became absolutely obsessed with trying to eat, and he really wasn't a good eater, and she was seriously concerned. And so what she used to do was the aeroplane, the with the spoon until he opened his mouth, and finally, whoop, she whipped it in there. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. God is doing exactly the same thing with us this morning. He's in the airplane. Open your mouth. Receive it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Chew it. Swallow it. Digest it. It'll bring growth, it'll bring health, it'll bring goodness.
Yes.
Don't be spitter. Don't spit it out. Receive the word for what it is. He died to give us life in all abundance.
Amen.
No limits.
Yep.
Let's live people who max out our credit. And I'm not talking about our credit cards. He's given us credit. We have credit here. We have the advantage. It's up to us to use what we have been given. It's our decision. I don't know about you, but I'm not here just to let life pass me by. I want it, and I want it all. Amen?
Amen.
Am I the only person here that wants it and wants it all?
Amen.
Do we all want it and want it all?
Amen.
Amen. So, let's do it. And let's give Him the glory.
Amen.
Let's praise Him for what He's already provided.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.